and welcome back to a new episode of Fem Voices. Today we have Glenn McDonald, CEO of ScienceTech Group, with us. Welcome, Glenn.
Yes, thank you.
Nice to have you here.
Yes, I'm really happy to joining you with this podcast.
You have traveled not too far, but a bit far to Sweden this
Well,
time.
I basically flew in from Amsterdam, so that's not too long of a flight. And always happy to be in Stockholm and work with my colleagues of ScienceTech and also, of course, with our customers that are in this this neighborhood.
Great to have you here. So we're going to dig into ScienceTech and we're going to be talking about you as well. But first up, we're going to start with some background.
Mm-hmm.
So could you share more about yourself? Who are you? What do you have for kind of background? And what led you to the role of ScienceTech?
Sure. You know, and I will keep it as short as possible. I have an experience of about 25 years in the financial services industry above all. And within that given time frame, I've basically conducted quite a lot of different roles and responsibilities. I've worked in corporate organizations, in startups and scale-ups. And in each time frame and area, I really picked up the good things, hopefully, that I put in my backpack. And I also, you know, reuse as well in my current endeavors, particularly now at ScienceTech, of course. You know, to give you some examples, I've been working for large banks like ING and ABN AMRO Bank, predominantly focusing indeed on the payments part of things. I also was part of Adyen. Adyen is one of the more famous fintech companies in the Netherlands, one of the unicorns that really grow extraordinary in the last couple of 10 years, basically. And I did whole global rollout. So that's why I'm really also, you know, profound and have a strong network in the international payment scenes. I was also part of a startup, Dimebox. We sold it to Verifone, one of the first cloud-based payment platforms. You know, with all that experience and also with all the managerial roles I took over the years, you know, I've really got a good experience in how to grow a business, how to build high-performing teams, how to innovate, and how to bring tech as close as possible to the needs of our customers in any given vertical.
Amazing. And now, speaking about ScienceTech, can you shortly brief us about what ScienceTech do?
Yes, of course. You know, ScienceTech is really an interesting company. It's one of those companies that's already quite a while active in the RegTech space. As we all know, RegTech is still very much a growing area. Still, there's a lot to come. There's a lot of technology innovation also taking place in that specific area. ScienceTech, by origin, of course, a Swedish company. We are stock listed at the Nasdaq. Over the years, obtained some other companies. So we created a kind of a group. And I think the prime entities that are now currently participating in that group constellation are, besides ScienceTech, Wyzer, WebShield. WebShield is more the KYB part of our business. WebShield is by origin a niche player in the global payments world, which I know, of course, quite well. And they are bringing merchant onboarding, merchant screening, and merchant monitoring capabilities to our customers, basically safeguarding that acquirers, processors, any type of, you know, entity that is active in the global payment space, you know, can safeguard that whichever merchants they use in their books, that merchant is compliant and also stay compliant. And that's very important to avoid any penalties, to avoid any issues with the card schemes, etc. So I think that's a really great addition to the KYC capabilities, know your customer capabilities that ScienceTech already had in portfolio. And I think ScienceTech is foremost known about their ability to, you know, screen individuals, natural persons, for any kind of onboarding process for a given company. We do that with a multitude of solutions, basically covering most of the territories around the globe. And bringing back, bringing together, you know, KYC and KYB in our vision, that is really something that taps into the also the current market demands that are there, and also the growing market demands. But what you see is that, you know, Europe is of course a quite mature market with regards of KYC. What you see now is digitalization and ongoing automation of things really also creates now a growth area in you know, territories like Africa, Latin America. And with the ZignSec solutions, we can, you know, basically make any company land safely and cautiously in any given territory where they want to do their business. Mm. By combining the two, KYC and KYB, know your businesses, I think we have a sweet spot that not many companies are capable to bring to their customers as well. Mm. And one thing I didn't mention yet is indeed the Wiser company. It's one of the companies that the ZignSec Group also obtained. It's a technology firm out of Malta, basically creating and building the platform technologies that it makes it possible also to combine the KYC and the KYB features that we have to a single platform, and also creating ease of use for our customers via the single API connections, the single invoicing capabilities. So it creates, you know, oversight, it creates control, it creates transparency on, you know, how can you be a compliant company. And it also makes it possible not only do it in your own country, but also going to different countries or different continents to that extent. I think that's basically the thing that we are doing as a ZignSec Group at the moment.
Yeah. And you're speaking about, yeah, Europe is the mature market here, and then it's kind of growing in Africa and other areas. But where are you, where do you have most of your customers? Where are you the largest?
Well, you know, as we started by origin in Europe, of course, the most concentration of our customers is still in Europe. And that counts basically for WebShield KYB services as well as for ZignSec KYC services. Mm-hmm. Over the last 1.5-2 years, we also see a quite interesting growth in territories outside of Europe. And that's, of course, not for nothing, because, as I mentioned, you know, Europe is quite a mature territory for this kind of services. And therefore, also, the competition is quite fierce. So if you want to find growth, and if you want to expand also and tap into new opportunities, for companies like us, it's important also to manifest our services in those areas. So you have to think about, you know, the APEC regions, the African region, and the Latin American regions. Mm-hmm. And how we do that is basically either we grow with our customers, you know, we have quite a lot of international customers that are also on expansion strategies. So, you know, if, for instance, one of our customers goes live with their businesses in Latin America, then there's the tendency that they go live also with our services, albeit, you know, KYC or KYB. But it's also, you know, we've been also pushing more marketing efforts and also created more presence also of our services in those different territories. Mm-hmm. And for us, it's just basically indeed, you know, tapping into new growth possibilities where, you know, European market has become a more stringent and more difficult for us as a smaller company compared to our competitors.
Yeah, you're speaking about like increasing the presence or something similar, but do you think that the team needs to necessarily be present in those type of countries where your customers are? Or,
well, you know, that's always a little bit of a catch as can. Mm-hmm. I think predominantly if you just start and you're entering a new territory, you can do without real, you know, soldiers on the soil, if I will always call it like that. Mm-hmm. If it grows and it becomes really a more mature portfolio, yeah, definitely you need to have your own local sales agents as well in place. That stage that we didn't reach yet, but that's also part of our ambitious plans that we have, you know, looking forward the coming years. Mm-hmm. So definitely, you know, if the portfolio is substantial enough, we will definitely invest also to having local people on the floor, because, you know, you need to be able to treat and to service your customer in any given time zone to that respect. And, you know, you should not forget also the cultural differences that are out there and also the specific demands that are there in certain countries. Mm-hmm. And in the end, also barrier language is always a challenge at a certain moment. So, you know, we are a customer-oriented company. So if we see and identify that there's a definite need mm-hmm. to create localized support and sales effort, then we definitely will do it.
Okay. And so before we start speaking about the future and what your mm-hmm. expectations are for the future, let's start with the main focuses at the moment mm-hmm. in ZignSec. What are you focusing on right now?
Well, you know, I'm now started my CEO role in, you know, somewhere out May last year. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things that I picked up is basically, and that's not always a positive statement for a growth company, but I created a kind of consolidation. Because why? You know, it's very good that we, over the last couple of years, we added new capabilities and new companies into the ZignSec Group. The challenge always is that, you know, you need to do a kind of return on invest on that, and that you can only reach if you really integrate and ensemble a offering to our customers that is getting the most strengths out of the different companies. So, I pushed really in a further integration of the different companies in the group, both from a technology perspective. You know, if you buy a company, then you buy everything. Mm-hmm. So we are also, you know, looking at, you know, different IT stacks, but also overlap of procedures, overlap of certain services, etc. So last year we particularly focused on getting that thing more in order there. We also invested a lot of time in, you know, creating more that platform experience. So being able indeed to start mingling those KYC and KYB services to a larger extent. And that's still not finished yet. So we are still in the growth process there. But that's foremost the focus that we had. In the meantime, of course, trying to tap into the new markets. And if you look to our revenues, we definitely were able to grow our businesses beyond Europe, as mentioned already before. Rationalize also on our product set. Focus is always a very important thing for a company. Most of the younger companies often make the mistake that they want to be everywhere, but eventually end up being nowhere. Yeah. And I think that's also has been one of the challenges for the ZignSec Group. And I think we have now way more focus also in the group. We know which direction we are heading to. We have a very strong foundation now on which we can further build and innovate our products and services. So that's basically what we've been focusing on. That's still something also for 2024 going forward, because some of the changes that we do needs time as well. If we want to improve our tech quality as well, but also if we want to integrate more of the newer features like AI and large language model capabilities, you need to build and you need to embed that in your current service offering, of course. So that will be very much the thing to accomplish further on in 2024. Mm-hmm. And also, indeed, sign more customers in the different regions where we are active. In the end, it's all about deals. You need to make money and mm-hmm. that's what we also need to show and bring to our shareholders in that extent, growth and more revenue. And that's what we are focusing on foremost.
Speaking about AI, I think, is it a ongoing process all the time? I guess, because you have to always adapt to the RegTech and how that market is adapting and developing. So AI is one part of it, of course, but are you generally always adapting? Because you're saying this is the main focus, but I guess in my head, it should be something, a work in progress all the time.
It's standstill is stepping behind. That's the I think the biggest criteria in our business. There are so many changes continuously going on around the globe. That can be regulatory changes, that can be new demands from our customers because they launch new services, and it can be technology innovations like AI. Everybody's talking nowadays about AI, and that's nice. What we as a company need to focus on is where do we really help our customers? If you jump on every change, then probably you will miss out also on the connectivity with your customers. I always say we never want to be the first. It's fairly impossible also for a company with our size and budgets to be in everything the first. That's impossible and not realistic at all. I will always push my teams to be a fast follower. By that strategy, basically you're only using changes and innovations which are proven that work or where that we understand, and then we can bring the best offer to our customers so that they will benefit from it. We don't have huge R&D teams to that extent. So, it's not that we have the luxury that we can do huge experimenting with our customers or over the back of our customers. Mm-hmm. So we're quite cautious in that. So we are a very innovative company, but we do it step by step and we do it in a controlled way. Take for example AI. This year we really invested indeed in improving our capabilities with that. It all results already in very much enhanced product offerings for our customers. So, our customers are already experiencing the benefits of the new technologies. Mm-hmm. Recently, we improved dramatically also the capabilities of our web monitoring services. which leads to a decrease of about 70% of false positives. False positives are, you know, signals, warnings that potentially something non-compliant is taking place. But if it's not true, then, you know, both us and customers are spending a lot of time on that. So you want to avoid as much as possible false positives. And AI gives you the capability to improve your technology and your smartness of your software to make that happen. So it's just a simple example with a lot of technology debt behind, but it sounds very simple, where customers can benefit already from innovations. So, you know, we want to be early at the curve, but, you know, we are not the inventors. We are really the fast followers, and we safeguard that, you know, as soon as it's, you know, a little bit mature, our customers will experience the benefits of it.
And if we go further here, you have lately improved costs. That's what we've seen. But at the same time, you have suffered setbacks in growth. Could you explain the main reasons for this?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a multitude of factors. Of course, yes, I focused on cost reductions. So, you know, we are really a slim and efficient company to that extent. But, you know, results are not only driven based on costs. And, you know, of course, you know, people costs are always the biggest bucket in any type of company, particularly for young companies, obviously. But, you know, what we saw as well is that, you know, particularly in the last quarter of last year, we saw some setback in volumes of transactions of our customers. And if you take in consideration that our service and our business model is based also not only on a recurring monthly fee, but also on transaction fees, the moment that transactions with a few large customers is dropping, either it's a seasonal effect or, you know, they just, you know, temporized, or they were struck by some economical impacts that continuously are taking place in this world, unfortunately. You see it in our books. And so for us, it was a combination of, you know, slightly lower transaction volumes than expected. But also, you know, we also wrote off a little bit some of the results that we anticipated of some of the newer projects that were already there for a while in the company, because either, you know, new legislation surpassed that need of that project, or we were just not able to deliver it fast enough. So it had a little bit of impact on our forecast to that extent. So, you know, I have some mixed feelings about that, because I always want to see, you know, growth, and I always aim to that upper right corner. But, you know, true life is that sometimes you have setbacks. It's also very important how you deal with that and what your response will be on that. If you look to how we had into the new year, basically we see again healthy growth of all our revenues and back on track to that extent. So yeah, it's always very meticulous navigating the company through all the extremes, and you know, there's a lot of volatility in the market at the moment. Not only our business can be uncertain, but also many of the business of our customers. What happens around the world with all the wars and fights and politic things, yeah, it's not healthy also for good business to that extent. So yeah, we do our best. Our team is pushing every day to the max. Unfortunately, sometimes you have to deal with, you know, also disappointments, but that is also part of life.
Do you have any specific season where you see that your customers are doing even more transactions, which affect your business even better? Or
yeah, no, what you see is that And that's a general statement. You know, what you see, particularly, you know, the first month of the year is always a little bit stretchy. How are people and how business picking up after the new the old year season, if I may call it like that? And what you see, of course, also is that around the summer seasons, you see people are going on holidays. That people are closing offices for a while, almost. Then you see lower transactions as well. You know, the moment that individuals are enjoying a vacation in Spain, then often they are not busy with, you know, creating a new bank account or getting a subscription for a new online service or something like that, where often you need KYC services. So that's a bit of the natural flow that you see. Spikes on our revenues are often to be seen indeed, you know, around between February, May and September till November. Yeah. Those are the but that counts for most businesses, particularly those that are online and in e-com business related. Yeah. Those are the standard season periods.
And in the face of evolving threats and opportunities, what would you say ScienceX's threat is at this time, and what is the opportunity?
Ah, well, that's a good question, but also a difficult question to answer, because of course there are many threats and even more opportunities. So, you know, let's start with the threats. I think, you know, as I mentioned before, we are not a very huge company. You know, although we are stock listed, that doesn't mean that we can compare ourselves with a lot of the global competitors that are out there. And bear in mind that, you know, as we have a very broad portfolio, we are covering both KYC and KYB capabilities. Basically, we also double our competitors to that extent, because what you see is that either you have a lot of KYC specialists or KYB specialists, you have specialists in certain regions or in certain verticals, and basically we want to be and can be present everywhere. So in that sense, there's a lot of competition that we have to deal with. If you extrapolate it to the amount of budgets that we have, you know, from a marketing perspective, but also look to the size of the teams. We are a very concise team at the moment. We see only 60 people. Mm-hmm. Of course, you can imagine that, you know, our biggest challenge is to win deals and surpass our competitors. Mm-hmm. Then immediately also you tap into our strength. You know, the strength of our company is that we are very resourceful. We are very creative. Mm-hmm. We are very skilled and also focused on making that happen. Mm-hmm. And it starts by having a very good relationship with your customers. So how more stickiness you have with your customer portfolio, the more also you create the opportunities to build on your services, on the growth of your existing customer portfolio, obviously. Mm-hmm. But also, indeed, to tapping in fast and efficient into new markets based on new demands that arise. Mm-hmm. Due to the size and the agility of our company, you know, we can be quick and we can be fast. And I think there we have more, you know, flexibility than some of the larger competitors that are working with larger teams and higher budgets. So, you know, the pros are the cons, and the cons are the pros a bit. And that's why we, you know, it's really important that we are staying close to the ball, if I may say. And I'm a huge soccer fan, so forgive me the metaphor. You know, it's hard working for the team. Ideally, you know, we will expand a bit on our sales teams and our development teams to even create more resilience. So that's also in the plans going forward. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, other than that, the challenges are still that, you know, the rise of e-com, the rise of digitalization is still in a continuous flux. Mm-hmm. So the demand for the type of services that we have is also still very much in growth. KYC still even stronger than KYB, because mm-hmm. KYB is, you know, your business is quite still a very complicated matter to solve. Mm-hmm. A lot of information that you need to do a proper screening of a business is not digital available, often only paper-based. Mm-hmm. I can see even sometimes you need a fax. Well, who has a fax nowadays? Oh. You know, it's crazy. But that's why, you know, you see that the silver bullet for KYB is a little bit more difficult than KYC. But for us, it's still a lot of opportunity. And with, you know, the platform capabilities that we are further developing, and also making, you know, as things as much as possible automated, transparent and easy to use for our customers, I see still a lot of growth potential for this company. And I'm looking forward with that with full conviction and full trust.
Speaking about the trends or the market itself, what trends with RegTech do you see as the most significant for ScienceX moving forward? And how is ScienceX preparing to adapt this and capitalize on emerging RegTech trends?
Yeah, good question. I think, you know, what happens, everything nowadays has an E, you know, EKYC, EKYB. So, yeah, it's everything is digital. Mm-hmm. Everything is easy to use. Everything needs to be without any churn, without any hurdle. Mm. EKYC identification screening even needs to be just on a device nowadays. Yeah, not only for in front of a laptop or a camera. It has multifunctions. You know, what you also see is, you know, fingerprint like. Capabilities is important. So biometrics is becoming more and more important in that extent. If you combine everything there, I think, you know, the biggest trend is further digitalization. And the interesting thing is, for instance, if you take, for instance, Africa, you know, like they do with a lot of things, they just skip certain steps in the evaluation of, you know, enabling digital services. So, you know, there you see indeed that, you know, the growth and the opportunity is in how do you manifest in a continent that doesn't go through a paper-based process but immediately jumps to a totally digitalized way of verification of, you know, companies, people. That's really challenging, really interesting, but there's also the opportunity. So, RegTech, compliance services will continually grow in a digital way. It becomes more and more real time. On the other hand, you know, it's all about security, safety, and reliability. Mm-hmm. So that's very important in this service business, of course. In between, you need to keep up with all the changes in regulations that are going on a global scale. And that's sometimes a little bit crazy. Lately, we just experienced that also with, for instance, the crypto regulations, continuously in change, but also important because from a fraudulent perspective, you know, it's also something that we need to have more control about. So we launched also, based on the new MiCA crypto regulations, a new service compliance pass, specifically, you know, to tap into those digital crypto merchants that need to do payment processing, and they need to attend very strict rules to that. Yeah. And there we dive into it as an opportunity. We build a great service, and people can use it and get advantage about that.
Do you see a demand over there?
It's a growing demand. It's not an easy demand, of course, because, you know, there were some bumps in crypto business to that extent. On the other hand, what you see as well that there's a kind of normalization behavior also to be found with the large card schemes. And the more Visa and MasterCard in that sense are adapting also the capability to accept crypto payments doing basically on-ramping from digital to fiat currency, etc. You get steady volume, and it's being very picky with whom to work, but it's a big market, and for us it's definitely an opportunity.
I think it's time to maybe dig in ScienceSec and its future. So let's speak shortly about that. Do you have any exciting project or expansions planned in the near future?
As I mentioned before, still there's enormous growth opportunity in other territories beyond Europe with the service that we already do today and can do today. Mm-hmm. So please, let's not forget that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's easy to jump from one boat to the other boat, but you know, do what you're good at and what you already can do. So that's also in the growth projections for the coming years. You know, we want to expand in those markets that are now really getting digitalized and getting modernized in a way over a tech point of view. Other than that, we really are further investing and building the seamless platform experience. I think, you know, for many years, for many companies, you know, being a compliant business was a challenge. And the more they can do that with their own controls via a portal, a platform feature, and basically just by click on a few buttons and answering some questions, they can create a bespoke compliance solution for their specific needs by the services that we are offering. So we invest a lot in that. So we are focusing a lot of effort there also to create a better, seamless and automated experience, bundling the KYC and KYB capabilities. And I know that, you know, that's already a promise from a longer time back, also within the ScienceSec group. But I see really, based on the choices that we've made as well last year, that we really make headwaves now. And I see really progress there. So probably also later this year, we will launch new features and new services based on our new platform capabilities, really making it possible to do almost a full automated UBO verification process, which is to now very often a very cumbersome and difficult process. So it's about, keeping focus on what we already do today and do it even better. It's about focusing on where can we innovate and automate and create an even better smooth user experience for our customers going forward. And with that, we have a very ambitious growth vision where, if you look to the coming years, we really, and I also mentioned that in an early interview in the market, we are aiming for a 20 million revenue business by 2027. And of course, that's a rough estimate, but it shows the ambitions and also the drive that we have as a company to create that hockey stick finally again. Because in the end, that is also the only way how I can bring back value to our shareholders. Mm-hmm. And with that respect, it has not been an easy ride the last couple of years. It has been a bumpy ride for many reasons. Mm-hmm. But I strongly believe in creating shareholder value because we are just basically existing by the existence of our shareholders. So, and we feel that and we focus on that as well.
Yeah. You were speaking about, doing the platform more seamless and developing that part. How would it benefit your revenues?
If you don't innovate with what you offer today, then at a certain moment, your customer demands can deviate from what you offer. So, I always say stay close to the needs, desires, and the complaints of your customers because you learn from that and then you need to adapt to that. If we have that even better platform experience and we are able to even bundle more capabilities and services in that platform experience where basically, it's almost a self-service cafeteria model for our customers where they can pick and choose what they want. First of all, they get more easy access to our products and services. So that will generate more revenue, more business. Secondly, you create higher stickiness because the more, of course, our customers are taking from us, the more difficult it is as well to go to another supplier. If you really bring good services, why should you change? And if you offer a full suite of services, then it makes sense to stay around. So it also creates a more stable customer portfolio with lesser churn. And by building those new capabilities, you are also better positioned to onboard new business, new revenue with new customers, because you have better capabilities. I always believe in advocacy by our own customers. They are the best ambassadors for business, I always say. So, if we make our current customers more happy and more bring our service more in an easy-to-use concept, they will tell around. That will make the life of my salespeople a little bit more easy as well. So it's basically focusing on our own customers. I always say protect the core. And then it's also new business, grow the business in new territories, in new verticals. And, don't forget that with the type of services that we offer, basically, we are not only in financial services like acquirers, processors, but we are very strong also in gaming verticals. E-gaming, iGaming is very important that you have good KYC there. But also in other highly regulated business, even like healthcare, that is also taking a really uptake as well on how to identify and how to monitoring individuals. So we are basically in a lot of verticals. The more you make it easy and accessible, the type of complicated services that we offer, the better it is for the customer, but also for us in the end.
Do you have any final words for mostly, I would say, the investors that have been along your side for a while, been on the bumpy road here along with you? Any final words to them?
First of all, I have tons of respect for those who, you know, still are there. And you know, I on a regular basis, I get emails and messages from shareholders. The fact that they ask me questions, the fact that they want to know, shows that they are still very much involved with the company. And I thank them for that. Obviously, those are not always the easy questions, because sometimes, you know, it's also about disappointment and challenge. And I totally get that. You know, and for me, you know, I can only look forward because I can't repair what's in the past.
Yeah.
But, you know, I can only stay to those customers and shareholders that are for a longer time also part and shareholder of the company. Hey, listen, you know, we have a very strong business focus nowadays again. We have a very good growth strategy and vision how we can bring the company to profitability and also to really strong revenue growth. It's not for nothing that I openly state those numbers. It's way more than we do today. But that's necessary as well, because otherwise, you know, companies don't survive in this very competitive market. But, you know, I will do everything in my power, and my team will do everything in their power to bring back that return on invest to our shareholders, to bring, you know, shareholder value back to the ones that invested and trusted the company. But that's unfortunately not a switch the button exercise. We need to do that step by step. We come from a long way. By now, yeah, the company is already a different company than it was a year ago. And I promise you, next year, it's again a different company than it is today. That's how I, you know, drive teams and how I drive companies. Hopefully, you know, they can find the stamina and, you know, the ease of mind to stay with us, to stick with us. I can only say we will bring 120%, if not even more, to make this company again a success company.
With those words, I thank you for this
patience. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that.